Good afternoon, everyone. I hope that you all can hear me, and thank you for allowing me another opportunity. I would be at a loss if I didn't acknowledge Brother Kirby. Brother Kirby is probably one of the most encouraging brothers I know in the brotherhood. He will pray for you. He will show you love every day. And I just wanted to just acknowledge that fact, that he is a wonderful brother, and we love him so much. And I'm sure you all reap the benefits of his love and kindness. He's such a kind, giving man. And I'm so thankful for all of you, and in prayer with all of you, as Sister Cloud, in prayer for the things that you asked for this morning as well as this evening, and all of the prayers that were requested for co-workers, friends, and family. Our hearts are made heavy as we think about the things that our brothers and sisters go through in this life. But please be encouraged to know that one day we'll put away this veil of tears, and one day we won't cry anymore. One day there will be no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more problems, and we'll spend eternity with the great God of heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we will rejoice. We'll rejoice always until the end of time. Or there will be no more time until eternity. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 22, the question is asked, is there no balm? And some translations say no medicine in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? And I'm sure that we can answer that by looking in the context, but I want to ask the question, why are we not being spiritually healed? And I have a very simple answer to that question. It's because we do not take the medicine that is prescribed, which is the Word of God. There was a man who called his doctor, and he complained that every time he lifted up his hand, and pointed his finger, his eye would hurt. And he called his doctor, and he just, you know, he complained, and the doctor said, man, that sounds awful. Never heard of a condition like that. You need to get down here immediately so we can diagnose you. Man went into the doctor, and the doctor said, so show me what happens when you lift up your hand. So the man lifted up his hand and poked himself in the eye. And he said, every time I do this, doctor, it hurts. And he said, but when I put my arm down, it doesn't hurt anymore. And the doctor looked at him and literally threw him out of his office. Let me just say this to you, and I know that's a little humor there, but here, let me tell you something. Sometimes the diagnosis to our problem is so simple and right there before us and right in front of us, but we refuse to even take the time to realize that we don't have to go through these problems that we go through if all we do is take the medicine that Jesus Christ has prescribed or that God has prescribed in his word. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20 to 23. Proverbs 4:20 reads, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. And these words were inspired. And he says in verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it sprang the issues of life. This shows us the importance of the Word of God and the Word of God in our lives. I was teaching a Bible class when we were living in Austin, and we were talking about being sick, and we were talking about medication, and one of the older sisters was talking about her high blood pressure, and she said She said, I just don't want to take that pill. Brother Ellaby, she said, I don't want to take that pill. And I said, well, why don't you want to take the pill? So she said, well, when I read on the label, it tells me what to do and what the medicine does. She said, but I can't understand how that little old pill can go in my body and find what's wrong and fix it. So I don't want to take it. And I looked at her and I said, sister, and this is where this sermon came from. I said, take the medicine. I said, do you feel better when you take the medicine? She said, sure. I said, well, take the medicine. Brothers and sisters, that's our problem. Sometimes we have the medicine there. It tells us what to do, tells us how to fix the things that are in our lives, the confusion, the trouble, the problem, and we refuse to take the medicine. Some of us don't like to go to the doctor. Some of us say, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor because the doctor's going to tell me this is wrong with me. Well, how else are you going to get it fixed? And if you don't go see what Jesus has to say in his word, you're not going to be able to fix the things in your life. As the brother read earlier in James chapter 1, and we look at the chapter, James chapter 1, one of the key verses there is verse 4. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Perfect and complete is a healthy spiritual situation to be in. That is a healthy diagnosis. And if the Bible is telling us something, we need to understand what James is saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of how do I get this prescription for a healthy life, a spiritually healthy life. Well, let's just look at it really quickly, and then the lesson will be yours and the lesson will be mine. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, you see, he's dealing with trials, and what he says is if you want to deal with trials, you're going to have to be joyful. So that's one of the first things of the prescription or the diagnosis or the plan of better health from a spiritual standpoint. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If you want to deal with uncertainty, he says, pray with faith without doubting. James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. You want to deal with the economic disparities that you see in this world between the rich and the poor? You know what he tells them? He doesn't say, rich man, go get richer. He doesn't say, poor man, go figure out how to get richer. He says, in essence, be satisfied with your station in life or your status in Christ. That's the most important thing. And go read that when you get time. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. He says, when we're tempted, look inside and see where the temptation is coming from, and don't blame God. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, he says that we need to put away anger and wrath. We need to suppress that in order to deal with the things that we deal with in life. Listen to this. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. You ever have a problem forgiving people? You ever have a problem with hatred and anger and bitterness? You ever say to yourself, I want to be over this? You ever have a person when their name is mentioned around you, you get mad? I knew a man once. He received a picture of a family member, and he hated that family member. He despised him. That family member was a cruel person. But he hated that family member with a passion. He hadn't talked to him in a long time. When he received a picture from another family member, the picture was showing this one family member's grandchild and the family member with the grandchild. This person was so angry and so hateful, he couldn't even see that sweet little innocent grandbaby there. All he could see was the fact that he hated his family member. Couldn't even acknowledge the baby in the picture. God does not approve of that. And I don't care what that family member did to that individual or that brother. There is nothing that says that that's okay. We can talk about forgiveness later, but one of the things is if you want to get over that kind of hatred and anger and bitterness and wrath because you feel like you've been slighted, if you want to get over that, you're going to have to take the medicine of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, he said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, and with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the medicine. It might be a bitter pill, but it's a pill that you're going to have to take if you're going to get over bitterness and anger and hatred and unforgiveness. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, if we don't do that, we won't see God's face and peace. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. The Bible says, when we look at James chapter 1, verse 21 to 27, what we learn is just hearing the word only is not good enough. We must be hearers and doers of the word. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 24, for he who observes himself goes away immediately and forgets what kind of man he is, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let me show you a few things that this medicine called the Word of God will do in our lives. This medicine will make you sane. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, if you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, or richly dwell within you, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your heart for the Lord, when you got God's word in you and the faith that God that comes from God's word, Romans 10:17, you will have a song in your heart. You will have gratitude in your heart. A person that has God's word in his heart, as my mother used to say, can't grumble, can't complain, can't always find fault and it's wrong in everything. The word of God is medicine for our soul. This medicine can perform emergency surgery. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You might fool anybody else, but we cannot fool God. The Word of God will find you out, will tell you where you are. When you look into that Word of God, you will know what manner of man or woman you are. Take the medicine. The Word of God will convert your soul. Psalm 19:7 says, the Word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Word of God, the medicine of God, will make you wise. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And if you look at the book of Proverbs and you look at what he says about simple means a fool. That means a person devoid of understanding. The word of God can take a person devoid of understanding and make them understand. This medicine will put joy in your heart and open your eyes. Psalm 19:8, the Bible says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know, I wish I had the ability to heal folk and do all those things. I can't do that on a physical standpoint. I don't have the knowledge or the ability or skills, but I know how to help people spiritually. I know, and so do you. And it's through the Word of God. Folks come, and I talk to people all the time and counsel with folks all the time. And my final answer on everything, whether you're on the job or whether you're my neighbor, friends or family, all I can do is point you back to God's word. And that's what all gospel preachers, all members of the church, to put it clearly and plainly, should be doing. We should be pointing people to the word of God. There's no other answer for any question that regards spirituality, spiritual health, salvation. It's all in the Word of God. If you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, according to what the Bible says a Christian is, that is one that has obeyed the gospel and lived faithful and is a member of the church of Christ. You need to be. You don't need to be out here spiritually sick and dead. You need to obey the gospel. And how do I do that? First of all, you got to hear the gospel. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't just hear any word. It's got to be the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. How Jesus Christ died for our sins. He buried and rose the third day. He suffered. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He suffered so that you and I could have the right to the tree of life, so that you and I could be healed from this sickness called sin. As we've heard the word of God, the gospel message, you must believe the gospel. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then a person must repent of his sins. Listen, once you start going down this route to being healed, you can't hold on to your sins. Jesus says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You have to give it up. You got to repent. You got to confess those things and repent. And no, you got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God after you have repented. Romans 10:9-10. Then a person must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Galatians 3:27 says baptism puts us into Christ, and it will put us into the church of Christ. The only place a person could be saved, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Not the churches, but the church, and there's only one. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, singly in term, and possession. That means that all that are going to be saved will be in the church of Christ, not a denominational body, but in the church of Christ. And then we must be faithful unto death so that we will receive a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Appreciate you all, and hopefully somehow we've encouraged you today in God's word. And I'm going to turn it back over to the hands of the brother. Thank you.